I have sat here, Madam Speaker, for the last 2 days, listening to the contents of manifesto after manifesto. In that regard, Madam Speaker, even before alluding to my script to assist me in my presentation, I just need to, for a brief moment, take the first 5 minutes or thereabouts to deal with some issues raised by various speakers before me. The first being, Madam Speaker, the member for Castro. Madam Speaker, one of the points that the member for Castro raised to me was that the law says, or the law says rather, that audited financial statements must be tabled in the House within a 3 month period after the completion of the financial year. And he is correct. Might I remind him that he is a member of the Public Accounts Committee, and so am I, chaired by the leader of the opposition, and we are still dealing with the audits of the years 1999 to 2000. We are dealing with audits, Madam Speaker, over 10 years expiration. So now to come to this Honorable House and pretend that you have a clean slate in that regard is deceiving. Madam Speaker, we further alluded to having the Attorney General vet our agreement before entering into them. Madam Speaker, this is a very good point. But Madam Speaker, in the course of my debate, you will begin to understand the haphazardness and how sidelined that office was in the operations of the last administration. Spoke of obsession with power. Did I hear that from the member for Castries East? Obsession with power. Again, Madam Speaker, I will demonstrate how certain constitutions were amended to facilitate the political longevity of leadership by members on the other side. He spoke about wasting money. I cannot believe that the member from Castries East would have the audacity to point at anyone and talk about wasting money. Madam Speaker, when the Labour Party assumed office, they went after Sir John with utmost vigor for roads that cost $30,000. They started, they estimated the inquiry to cost $150,000. It ended up costing $300,000, looking for $30,000. Les sept-lits au contraire, ou paid wallet ou, il pas une pièce l'autre, il ne faut pas faire deux ou paid $2, mais ou pas faire un homme $200 pour acheter pour $2 là-bas. And he talks about wastage, wasting money. He also spoke of the number of projects he has received, Madam Speaker. And I will touch on that. Because never in the history of the existence of the St. Lucia Labour Party have they made any allocations for opposition members to spend in their constituency. This has never happened. And I'll deal with that. I'll deal with that, Madam Speaker. I definitely have to deal with that. I earlier heard, Madam Speaker, from the member from Miku North. And in her deliberations, Madam Speaker, she said, and I quote, that the council and the reps were insulted by the way they were treated. She went on to say, Madam Speaker, that she was hoping she could have held elections for the council. Madam Speaker, in her general deliberation, she indicated an intention to do everything in accordance with the law. And I applaud that. But there is absolutely no piece of legislation that governs the selection of councillors on any local authority. In that regard, Madam Speaker, the sad reality is the minister has the discretion of appointing councillors. And it's only out of courtesy, only out of courtesy, he takes the intervention of his district representative. Now, if a district representative says you shall not invoke my courtesy unless you do X, Y, Z, in my humble view, it is tantamount to holding the ministry's program to ransom. And in my view, holding the ministry's program to ransom is unacceptable. And in that regard, we can invoke the legislative authority to appoint. And this is exactly what happened. But I don't want to go too long on that, Madam Speaker. And one of the other things I needed to say about planning approval. Madam Speaker, planning approval is not necessary if there are no structural changes. In fact, if there are structural changes and the extension is less than one-third of the existing building, planning approval is still not required. So that argument, Madam Speaker, before. Madam Speaker, I listened to the leader of the opposition, essentially attempting to complete the manifesto as started by Member for Kashmir. And he went on, well, the only difference is the Member for Kashmir used the term a new Labour Party government, whereas he was cognizant of the fact that he cannot refer to himself as new. He knows he's part of the old guard. So he says a Labour Party government. And you know, Madam Speaker, it is so sad that sometimes you listen to persons, and if you were to go on what they say, without necessarily exhibiting or taking cognizance of the past behavior, you will believe that you may go to bed with an angel. And Madam Speaker, when persons talk about past informs the future, and I'll speak on that. Your past informs the future, and your behavior today is what makes you eligible for a job tomorrow. That is why when you go and look for a job, they ask you for a police record. That is the point, Madam Speaker. So let nobody fool solutions and say it's the past. It is the past because an opportunity was no longer presented. So we cannot be disregarded that there wouldn't be a repetition. How do we know that? Do we gamble like this? We will not. Madam Speaker, I heard the leader of the opposition allude to items in the budget not being defined, and there was no specificity in relation to allocation. And I'm wondering whether it is the same man who moved the resolution that was tantamount to deceiving this Honorable House. Is it the same man? When the member for Viewport from Miku South asked him for an explanation, it was answered. He said, let the people from Deriso read it for you, if you cannot understand it. Today, the very man speaks of definition and specificity. Madam Speaker spoke about direct awards. I will touch on that. But all I need to say is this. We were confronted with a natural disaster. That was no fault of anybody. You are asking St. Lucia that in such state of total disrepair, in a state of emergency, hold on before I come to your rescue. The two bridges, Madam Speaker, the two bridges that were repaired on the Catfish-Grosville Road within 48 hours of the hurricane, how on earth could they have been repaired but by a direct award? Within very quick time, Madam Speaker, you're asking solutions to hold on until we go through the process of bidding before I can bring relief to you. That is the kind of leadership that we want. We want a responsible leader a leader who would respond in times of emergency to bring back our lives to a situation that has a semblance of normalcy. That is the kind of leader we need. So, Madam Speaker, I have risen not only in support of what is constitutionally obligated to be the last budget debate before St. Lucians are requested to make a judgment call, but also, Madam Speaker, in an attempt to showcase our successes amidst extremely turbulent times. Turbulent times, Madam Speaker, that range from no water at all to too much water, hurricanes, strikes, earthquakes, unprecedented recessionary times, wars and other global catastrophes from which St. Lucia in no way could have been insulated. And for those who find it politically expedient to stir public anxiety under the delusion that they have answers to all the worldly problems, I beg to remind them that we are indeed part of this world. And Madam Speaker, during my research and presentation in this house, I came to the realization that our great nation, St. Lucia, has been rescued from the ravages of financial imprudence and managerial ineptitude. Indeed, the great Creator lent a hand for our continued existence and survival. But when I examine document after document, both the previous budgets, one after the other, a call for rescue was screamed out by Swiss St. Lucia nearly 5 years ago. And as I will examine, Madam Speaker, I am certain that most persons, if not all, will agree that our beloved country has been for the last 4 years and 4 months or thereabouts in much better management hands. Madam Speaker, I cannot help but recall 911, which essentially furnished the administration of the day with all excuses for everything. No tourists in St. Lucia, 911. Cost overrun, 911. 001 to civil servants, 911. No protocol, 911. 911 was essentially blamed for everything. The question that needs to be asked, Madam Speaker, if they only had 911 to grapple with, and they blamed everything on it, what would they have done with the proliferation of adverse situations like we had? Madam Speaker, I want to place on record my total satisfaction with which this dedicated team of men weathered every storm, stood up to every beat of criticism, and yet carried on the business of governance with utmost resilience. Congratulations, colleagues. They will not last 6 months. Okay, they will not last a year. Yokai Gumeki on a lot. Elections will be in December next year. Those were the tales, Madam Speaker, being told by a bunch of men who clearly and up to this day have not accepted defeat. In fact, Madam Speaker, since the defeat of the leader of the opposition, he has never gone upstairs to the members' lounge. Never. And I challenge him on that. Since he lost prime ministership, he no longer socializes with his colleagues at the lounge. So right now, Madam Speaker, they are tired of giving this for election. They are now asking the prime minister to call him. This is after they called it again and again and again, and they postponed it again and again and again. Madam Speaker, since our attainment of independence 32 years ago, an appropriation bill has been moved in this house at least once a year. In some instances, there may have been supplementary bills which essentially were moved to facilitate a change of priorities as administrations change. Madam Speaker, I have sought to put this budget into perspective and examine the budgetary estimates for the last 20 years in this honorable house. Madam Speaker, And he writes up to him, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, can you pull up a little? Madam Speaker, we have estimates of recurrent revenue and recurrent expenditures from 1992-93 to 2011-2012 this year. This covers a 20-year period. Madam Speaker, I'm sure it will not surprise you and other solutions that the only time in our history, not even confined to that 20 years alone, that St. Lucia was catering to spend more money than it was making was when the opposition leader was prime minister. And here they are, Madam Speaker. 2002-2003, we were collecting 473 million, but catering to spend 492. 2003-2004, up to the time he was out, Madam Speaker. Meuble dit le sacrifice qu'ça. Celle-là, c'est précis. C'est qu'à estimer pour dépasser plus l'argent. Parce qu'il était qu'à faire. C'est le leader opposition, c'est le premier ministre. Et c'est ça qu'il fait pour donner cycle meilleur avec cela. If last year, Madam Speaker, we had a deficit of almost $80 million, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, we never knew what it was to spend more money than we made. We never knew what it was, Madam Speaker. Even, Madam Speaker, any ordinary solution knows that if you make $1,000 a month, how on earth can you afford house rent of $1,200? It means that every month you must borrow the extra $200 to pay what is called a recurrent or monthly expense. Now, I dare say, all solutions knew that, except one, the leader of the opposition. And Madam Speaker, the ordinary solution calls it living above your means. Now, Madam Speaker, that very record shows that as soon as this administration assumed office, we turned the tide around. In fact, to use their words, which they're using in their campaigns and in their advertisements, we stopped the slide. The last five budgets, including this one, Madam Speaker, that have been moved by the Honorable Prime Minister Stephenson King, we have reversed that trend, and we have not catered to spend more money than we collect. It is pure madness, Madam Speaker, to do the opposite. Now, Madam Speaker, just think of this. If you are already catering to spend more than you collect, you have the audacity to open your mouth and say reduce collections on that. If he was in charge, St. Lucia would be sold on auction. And I could tell you that once he was in charge, St. Lucia would have been sold on auction. I want every St. Lucia to take time and to rationalize it. Your last five budgets as the Prime Minister, your expenses, monthly expenses, are more than what you collect monthly. And that has absolutely nothing to do with capital projects, only to pay your recurring bills. You are not collecting enough to pay your recurring bills. You have to borrow every month, thus bringing up the national debt. Yet, you want persons to believe that after you are already not collecting enough to pay your bills, the little that you are collecting, you will further cut it down by not collecting money from fuel. Madam Speaker, what would be the result of that? We would have to borrow more, and our national debt would have to increase too. But you know what? Solutions are not stupid. They're not. They're smart people. If a prime minister cannot balance his budget, the little that he collected, you cut it further? My God. So, Madam Speaker, when you hear political hacks say government makes a profit, government does not run a shop, and government is burdened with the social responsibilities of taking care of the people's needs. But I must say, Madam Speaker, as a people, we need to do for ourselves what government cannot do for us. We need to be a little more conservative in our daily operations. Close the fridge door. Let's carpool. Turn off the lights when we don't need them. We need to conserve what we do not produce. You know, Madam Speaker, we in this government operate as a thief. Yes, as a thief. And after winning the hearts of the electorate, we agreed to abide by certain tacit rules. One of them being, Madam Speaker, we will move no budgetary estimates where we are catering to spend more than we collect. And I promise you, I will not stand here and defend that budget. If this happens, we either have to create new revenue streams, Madam Speaker, or cut expenditure. But, as usual, when you get madness, like borrowing to finance recurrent expenditure, something is wrong fundamentally. Madam Speaker, another commandment by which we abide. What is called? I don't know about that. Another commandment by which we abide, Madam Speaker, is thou shalt not squander the people's money and call it cost overrun. Madam Speaker, that is a term I have tried my best as an avid follower of politics to find where that term came from. And I will venture to say this, Madam Speaker. This term came into being in solution politics when the Solution Labour Party assumed office. And I challenge anyone, parliamentarians or otherwise, to go through every Hansard, and a Hansard is the book containing the records of proceedings, and to show me where the term cost overrun is used. If I have missed it, Madam Speaker, well, I'm human, I can hear. But I challenge anyone to show me the word cost overrun in any Hansard before the Labour Party assumed office. So when you have a Prime Minister, Madam Speaker, signing an agreement a month after assuming office for cost overruns, he guaranteed cost overruns before a foundation is dug. Listen to this well, you know, Madam. You are guaranteeing $23.6 million in cost overrun before a foundation is done. And I tell you about the cost overrun because my friend from that city told me I've never done anything wrong in government, but I have a letter here in Calgary. You know why? Me plaît le simplicité au point de vue. Au premier ministre, qui a signé un agreement pour garantir 23.6 millions de dollars. Fondation pour construire bloc pour proposer l'argent cost overrun hala. Cost overrun is money they put on aside in the event the cost of the project exceeds the allocation. So if you do estimate like 100,000, ma have come here to the catalan, mais premier ministre là, c'est d'accord pour mettre $23.6 million à tous côtés. Pour cost overrun après production fouillée. Premier ministre, c'était même pour l'effort Dr. Kenny Anderson. Bon. Now, you know, when the Prime Minister did that, I got a letter. The first set of cost overrun, the total is $8.75 million. But it was for a little less than that. And the guy said, no, we wanted to guarantee more. It was $4 million and they say put 4.75 on it. That's before the project started. So Mr. Clint Wellington was written to by Mr. Percival MacDonald, who was the permanent secretary of the Ministry of Tourism. I don't know if my friend can tell me who the Minister of Tourism was then. Can you help me? Anyway. And head of contents of the letter, because you have never done anything wrong. Dear Mr. Wellington, I am pleased to inform you that your request for an increase in cost overrun guarantee to be approved at $8.75 million during the construction phase, you go and say guarantee cost overrun hala. Now, Senator, it is approved by the Prime Minister after consultation with the Minister of Tourism. I don't know. Who was it? I have read. So, the cost overrun guarantee. Now, I'm not sure who it was, Madam Speaker. I am not sure who it was that agreed for the cost overrun for $23.6 million by Tier Picturehead. And I don't know if anybody inside of here looks like that. Yes, that was when they were signing. Oh, I didn't say that. That was when they were signing for cost overrun of $23.6 million before project started. And the letter says, Madam Speaker, that it was done by the Prime Minister after consultation with the Minister of Tourism. But Madam Speaker, that wasn't even all. That wasn't. Oh yeah, probably, yes. That wasn't even all, Madam Speaker. After they guaranteed $23.6 million cost overrun in 1997, they came to the House on the 17th of December 2002. And this is what they said, answer. This is what the then Prime Minister said. 5 years later, he said, it was, and I'm just reading an excerpt. It was clear too that the site was a challenging site because of its location. Additional fences had to be installed, and in those circumstances, if we wanted an additional hotel, we needed to go the extra mile. The question was, how could that be done? In the circumstances, the government reviewed all its options, and the government agreed to a formula to the following effect. The bank will proceed to give the hotel support up to another $11 million to take care of possible cost overruns. Madam Speaker, it's in hand pass. So the first set of cost overrun was not enough, was guaranteed before they started. After they started, they came back here on the 17th of December 2002 for another $11 million for U.S. to take care of possible cost overruns. My God. You know, Madam Speaker, what it is? You gave cost over, you guaranteed before you start. Presumably you've not used it, but you come back to this house for more cost overrun. Madam Speaker, I am sure you now begin to understand what I mean by financial imprudence and managerial ineptitude. So, Madam Speaker, what is good governance? What is proper management, if I get the chance? Not borrowing to poor currencies. Madam Speaker, we are the only country in the OECD to register growth. And Madam Speaker, you know, the good thing about all of those things is that we registered 4.4% growth, and Guinea 3.8 minus, and Tiger 5.9 minus, Dominica minus 0.35, Grenada minus, all of them minus, inclusion, positive 4.4. Now, Madam Speaker, precisely, you know, Madam Speaker, you know, if we can do that when things were bad, far less if we only had 9-1-1. You know, the members opposite, Madam Speaker, they try to downplay the growth. But we on this side here are not the ones that put those figures there. Politicians do not put the figures there. All we did as a government, Madam Speaker, was to create an enabling environment to foster growth. Have things been brighter in the constituencies, obviously. Have things been brighter, Madam Speaker, St. Lucia would have been where we intend to take it. But we have started, and we will continue. We will continue, Madam Speaker, because we have gone over the hill of difficulty. We have weathered every storm, and we have set St. Lucia on a track for developmental expansion and economic opportunities. Madam Speaker, I am indeed happy that Her Excellency in a throne speech complimented the police. I want to indicate my concurrence with such commendation. I am also pleased, Madam Speaker, that the Honourable Prime Minister, in his wisdom, has sought to furnish the police force with the necessary equipment to ensure that they are able to deliver. We need to show our officers that we care. That certainly was not the case, Madam Speaker, demonstrated by the last administration under the leadership of the current leader of the opposition. He removed the police officers from the government's pension program, and together with his other colleague who wants to fight elections now, who was manager of NIS, placed the police under NIS. And I'll explain that, Madam Speaker. The situation was this. Before 2003, once an individual had served 20 years in the police force, save you had reached a rank which mandated your service until 55, a police officer could have left the police force, received his gratuity and pension right away. So that if a young man or woman joined the force at 18, he or she could retire and receive pension immediately at the age of 38. But from 2003, things changed. Thanks to the past administration, persons that joined the force after that, Madam Speaker, and those are facts, you know, I see a police officer shaking his head. I see him shaking his head. Those are facts, you know. Those are facts. He's not on the phone, he's shaking his head. Those are, I don't come here and just say things, you know. The last administration, Madam Speaker, they changed it so that somebody at the age of 18 who joins the force now works for 20 years, at the age of 38, he is bound to wait another 27 years before he receives his pension and gratuity. He has to wait another 27 years. And you tell me you care about people? Madam Speaker, it was felt that a young man or woman who joined the police force, who had exposed themselves to injuries and had risked their life for all of 20 years, that should have entitled them. Well, the last administration thought differently. And Madam Speaker, I dare say, if I had my wish, I would bring the police back to what existed prior to 2003 when it was decided to treat the police with country guard. I would bring them back, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, as Minister for Housing, it is my desire not only to treat the police well, but to treat all civil servants with utmost appreciation by providing them, each of them, with a really affordable house. The sad reality is, though, Madam Speaker, successive governments, because of the scarcity of resources, we do not make a substantial allocation in an attempt at discharging this responsibility. In my view, Madam Speaker, there is room for change. When an arm of the government like the NHC is responsible but cannot afford to sell its packages at the market price, but rather at cost price, bearing in mind government's social responsibility, the question of sustainability must come into play. You see, Madam Speaker, the sad thing is National Housing Corporation, they are there having to rely on joint ventures or sometimes the benevolence of developers who work for us on credit and will pay after the site is fully developed. We're talking about credit matters. Every time I hear that word, I remember Shevin Jalousi. The only Prime Minister who sold the shares of the, who sold the property of the government and people of St. Lucia on credit, what is the need of the opposition? Madam Speaker, our shares in Jalousie were sold on credit. And up to today, the people of St. Lucia are yet to be paid. And to whom was it sold? I don't know. Ah, Madam Speaker, what are you about calling me? Right, Madam Speaker? I shall oblige. And Madam Speaker, The leader of the opposition is still bold enough to talk about selling Christians to the same jealousy. The same jealousy.
No, I'm just wondering what the disturbance is. There seems to be. I think the house has suddenly become very hot.
The house is hot.
I thought it was colder before this one.
I was taking credit for myself. And Madam Speaker, what is even more amazing, like I said, that we are yet to be paid for our share. Nouvelle dit, leader of opposition now, chef là nous tenir en jalousie, that is Van Kwedi, et nous propose pour nouvelle l'argent nous, souple. Nous commandons lui, nouvelle l'argent nous, souple. Madam Speaker, I look forward, like I said today, when successive governments take a different approach as it relates to the discharge of our housing responsibility. The old saying is, you make do with what you have. And I need to commend the staff of the Ministry of Housing and NHC in an attempt at doing. Madam Speaker, if I may just give you, like my friend Bellon say, if I may visit the historicity of the circumstances surrounding this unfortunate situation in this. The NHC's ability to borrow, Madam Speaker, has been stifled by the imposition of a debt of $45 million, and I wish the leader of the opposition was there, to tell me who made St. Lucia Housing Authority with HUDC in 2002 and placed the debt of $45 million on the backs of NHC. Madam Speaker, NHC has to pay to NIC $113,000 monthly in interest. $113,000 a month in interest, not touching the capital. That is the debt they are burdened with, Madam Speaker. So, invariably, Madam Speaker, they cannot. They are built, once they go to any bank, they turn them down, having to pay that kind of money. What is worse, Madam Speaker, the National Housing Corporation are in seven digits as far as it relates to receivables. They need reprieve, Madam Speaker. And I do believe, as a government, we need to revisit that situation. Notwithstanding, Madam Speaker, the Ministry of Housing, through the National Housing Corporation, has successfully completed a number of projects. In Moshi, Madam Speaker, in Moshi, we have completed 10 houses and they have been ready for occupation for a while. This is one of the sad realities, Madam Speaker. The sad reality is there was a slight difficulty with WASCO, that's Moshi Riders, as it relates to the connection. And my instructions are, Madam Speaker, that all arrangements are now in place and the houses will be handed over to the beneficiaries from Conway pretty soon. We have started a development, Madam Speaker, in Rivadore, Malambush. I don't know if my colleagues will permit me to just say something slight on that. We have started a development that is Malambush, Madam Speaker, and the earthworks there are more than well advanced, Madam Speaker. I want to place on record my thanks to the contractor, Mr. Marky Chitoli, for agreeing to do the work. Credit, Madam Speaker. And I believe it deserves a round of applause from this house. This development, Madam Speaker, will yield in excess of 230 lots. In viewport, Madam Speaker, work has commenced on the St. Jude's East Garden project. And again, it is being developed on a credit basis with full payment due on completion. It's expected to yield, Madam Speaker, in excess of 300 lots. That's St. Jude's. Okay. Marigold, Madam Speaker. If you marry me, yes. And, you know, I just told my colleague earlier, go that slide there. Look how beautiful this is. Look how beautiful this is. It, you know, Madam Speaker, sometimes I've told persons, if you need to find out something, all you do is ask. You can ask. But earlier on in this honorable house, I heard nothing is happening in Marigot. This is Marigot. Madam Speaker, the development in Marigot is totally completed. The development yielded, Madam Speaker, a total of 105 lots. And of those 105 lots, Madam Speaker, only 6 lots are available. Only 6. All the balance have either been sold or assigned, Madam Speaker. So I can indeed say Marigot has been a success. Madam Speaker, on March 30th this year, about 2 weeks ago, the ministry handed over to 4 Conway residents, Madam Speaker, 4 newly built houses at Mon North in the constituency of Anfleury Canary. Mon North. Yes, Madam Speaker. Good. Yes, Madam Speaker. We handed over 4 newly built houses to residents from Conway, Madam Speaker. In that regard, Madam Speaker, although he left us on the 23rd of January this year, I wish to recognize the efforts of deceased Bradley Sora, who spearheaded the efforts to bring the project to fruition and operated with total passion as if the houses were his own. May the good Lord bless his soul. So, Madam Speaker, as I said earlier, amidst limited resources, we are attempting to deliver. It is my desire, though, to see the day when whichever government offices allocate between $10 and $15 million annually to the National Housing Corporation, given the social mandate. Madam Speaker, the government is pursuing with due dispatch the rationalization of land owned by in a number of areas. And you see, sometimes when people speak, the leader of the opposition just said earlier that the rationalization effort has stopped. But he's wrong, clearly. Those areas include, Madam Speaker, but are not limited to La Fave in Sodel, Angers, Iriso, Pralin, Ascanot, Denry, Dibonair again in Denry, Millet, the Millennium Highway, Rock Hall, Ragin Chabot, Sundale, Wapatab, Activeville, Plateau, Deramo, Labon, and Guadouache. The rationalization plan, Madam Speaker, is designed to bring those quarter settlements into the periphery of acceptability as far as infrastructural development is concerned. It will also empower the squatters by giving them ownership of those lands at prices that reflect a true governmental desire to help. So the leader of the opposition just needs to get his facts before he opens his mouth, Madam Speaker. That invariably, Madam Speaker, will encourage economic activity as persons will be in a position to mortgage their properties for personal advancement. And Madam Speaker, all the areas I outlined previously have already been occupied by those persons. And we are proceeding desperately, Madam Speaker, to survey the lot, bring in the water, the electricity, and other necessities, and to sell to them at very, very low prices. In fact, the price it costs us to put in the infrastructure. Madam Speaker, I'm letting from the people from Denry that the district rep of Denry is using some of his own allocations to feed one of the settlements with water. You deserve a pat on the back, please. Madam Speaker, earlier I alluded to the price of fuel and the fluctuation of the price on the global market. In fact, let me just say this. And I heard the leader of the opposition speak about gas and gas and gas. Madam Speaker, today, the price of gas in St. Lucia is $15.38 a gallon. The price of diesel is $15.57. Let me just compare that to Antigua and Carrier quickly, and the price of the 20-pound cylinder is $43.16 here. In Grenada, it's $15.12, $15.43, and the 20-pound cylinder is $47.96. In Carriacou, it is $15.78 for the gas, $15.59 for the diesel, and the 20-pound cylinder is $56.96. So when some people believe that we live in hibernation and that global forces don't impact on us, they need to think again. But sometimes, Madam Speaker, it's politically expedient to show that we have answers to all global problems, but we don't. Madam Speaker, as a result of those fluctuations, the government is seeking and pursuing alternative sources of energy. The production of our energy today is almost completely fossil fuel based. In fact, in 2009, Lucid spent in the region of $181 million for the purchase of fossil fuel for the production of electricity. With a population in the region of about 170,000, Madam Speaker, that translates to over $1,000 per person. And that does not even include money spent on fuel for vehicles. That, Madam Speaker, is a significant drain on our economy. Can you imagine how our economy would thrive if there was zero dependence on fossil fuel? Alternative sources of energy, Madam Speaker, will invariably lead to better household budgeting, as there would be little or no dependence on the fluctuating fossil fuel price.
Honourable Member, you have 10 more minutes to complete the presentation.
So I started at
7:35?
7:35, okay. Madam Speaker, I would like to invoke Standing Order 6010 to be in order for another hour, 6 minutes for the presentation. Honourable Member, the question is that Standing Order 6010 be invoked to allow another member for Kashi Central an additional 60 minutes to complete his presentation. I now put the question, as many as are of that opinion, say aye. As many as are of the country opinion, say no. I think the ayes have it, the ayes have it.
Honorable yes, member. Madam Speaker, thank you very much, colleague. So, Madam Speaker, as alternative sources of energy, like I said, we need this to better household budgeting, as there will be little or no dependence on the fluctuating price of fossil fuel. In that regard, government has instituted concessionary mechanisms for solar appliances. The government has also put bills in motion for the establishment of a wind farm by acquiring the necessary land. Looking at final approval is being awaited. Madam Speaker, during the currency of the last financial year, we were able to revamp and regularize a very onerous agreement that was signed by the leader of the opposition with UNEP. Not only, Madam Speaker, did we enter into a totally new agreement, we did what the leader of the opposition failed to do. We caused Lucilec to sign a contemporary agreement for the purchase of any energy acquired through geothermal drilling. All of this has been done, Madam Speaker, and I'm proud to see that drilling will commence very soon. Madam Speaker, talking about drilling, I was forced to visit another agreement signed by the leader of the opposition on March 22nd of this year, in this very house. While we debated, Madam Speaker, another bill, the leader of the opposition said that he knows St. Lucia cannot establish its maritime boundaries on its own. Now, Madam Speaker, the maritime boundaries essentially mean our boundaries on the sea, our water boundaries. Madam Speaker, yet the leader of the opposition signed an agreement in which he essentially undertook to establish those boundaries beyond doubt. And this line here, Madam Speaker, represents the boundaries. Those lines there have nothing addendum to the agreement. That signature down there looks familiar, Madam Speaker. It belongs to the leader of the opposition. This is the boundaries that was supposed to be established. But he said in this House, Madam Speaker, as I said earlier, on the 22nd of March, we cannot establish our boundaries on our own. But hear what the agreement says, Madam Speaker. The agreement essentially places an obligation in the event. Can you scroll up, please? Right. The agreement, Madam Speaker, essentially says, and it's right here, Madam Speaker, he says, okay, let's take it from here. The government and the company acknowledge, however, that the agreement related to the government's ownership or control of petroleum in portions of the agreement area is within the boundaries, thereby excusing performance of all the company's obligations unless the agreement and establishing the duration of the agreement and the period allowed for the performance of fulfillment of such obligations by the period required to establish beyond doubt government ownership. It's right there. By the period required to establish beyond doubt government ownership. The point I'm making here, Madam Speaker, here is an agreement signed by Dr. Kenny Anthony Ride, undertaking to establish maritime boundaries, but yet says in this Honorable House on March 22nd, that we cannot establish the boundaries. So, Madam Speaker, I was wondering, why would a Prime Minister sign an agreement? And I have the agreement in its entirety here, Madam Speaker, with a signature. Why would a Prime Minister sign an agreement undertaking to establish boundaries and later saying in this House that he cannot do what he said he was going to do? Well, Madam Speaker, I went through the agreement. And lo and behold, I found the answer in the agreement, Madam Speaker. And I would like you to show Article 12, please. And I will read Article 12 to St. Lucia so that they understand. Very good. Article 12, which is here, Madam Speaker, is entitled Royalty and Business Levy. Can you send it, please? Good. Royalty and business levy. And let me read. The company shall pay to the government royalty on all petroleum produced and paid under this agreement. The liability of the company to pay royalty shall be discharged as follows. In the case of natural gas, by paying to the minister. In the case of natural gas, by paying to the minister royalty equal to 4% of the value of the natural gas. You heard it, Madam Speaker. By paying to the minister, it goes on. In the case of crude oil, by paying to the minister royalty at the rate specified in 12.2, and 12.2 says that the royalty shall be 6%. I did not say it, Madam Speaker. I did not say it is here. It is here. It is right here, Madam Speaker. It is here in the case of natural gas by paying to the minister royalty equal to 4% of the value of the natural gas determined in a manner specified in an agreement entered into between the minister and the company. Now, Madam Speaker, agreement entered into between the minister and the company. Is there another agreement? You know, Madam Speaker, I've been wondering when I first spoke about that, people run on the radio to defend. And I'm wondering what it shall be to the government itself, but you bring it in pen to the minister. An agreement between the minister and the company. And you know, Madam Speaker, we are dealing with a man who has a PhD in law. We are dealing with a man, every piece of legislation that comes here, if it gives the minister any little bit of authority, he says, no, don't give minister any authority. Hit up for transparency. But you as prime minister can sign an agreement to pay the minister personally 4% and 6%. I did not say it. I did not say it is in an agreement signed by the leader of the opposition. You know what it's worth, Madam Speaker? Trinidad signed that agreement because it cost them over $10 million to get out of that agreement. Over $10 million. We went and we signed it, and it's costing us millions, Madam Speaker. Millions. Madam Speaker, I have always wondered why on earth did a prime minister sign an agreement giving a company all the rights over our waters? I always wondered. By saying to the minister, it doesn't say pay to the minister on behalf of government, it doesn't say pay to the consolidated fund, it doesn't say pay to the governor, it doesn't say pay to the accountant general. It says pay to the minister. And it was signed by a man who has a PhD in law. So you're telling the mistake. It's a mistake. Royalties and business levy, Madam Speaker. You know the same man. Madam Speaker, since when an individual's liability to government is discharged by being a minister? And don't tell me it's government. If government has to be inserted, a government would have been inserted in. So you see why all the rights to our waters were sold? Because the agreement clearly says royalties shall be paid to the minister personally. The very man signatory to that agreement makes every piece of noise with any piece of authority conferred upon a minister. But Jordia will ask, who castigue a guima? Com que si vous la jouen l'huile? Et que vous jouez gouvernement 4% et 6%, je ne vous paye pas. Pas moi qui dis. Il a dit deux agreements, et agreements signés par Kenny Anthony, qui était Prime Minister à l'AICI. So can you imagine, Madam Speaker, when you bring all of those things together, that one is in writing. And there must be another document, because it speaks to an agreement between the minister and the company, in fact, between government and the company, between the minister and the company. So one has, and that one is in writing, Madam Speaker. Can you imagine those we have not found and all those that are not in writing? So one has to wonder, Madam Speaker, when a road that was estimated to cost $43 million cost taxpayers $125 million. Call l'argent aller. Most people don't care about us. They care about themselves. And when you juxtapose that kind of recklessness to Rochamel, you know, and the member from Soufre has the audacity to call people liars. I'll talk about Rochamel in a lie. That's the biggest lie. Rochamel was the biggest lie ever told in this country, in this house. It was deceit, Madam Speaker. So you juxtapose that kind of thing to Rochamel, you juxtapose it to the sale of shares in Jalousie Credit, which you have not been paid up to now. You juxtapose it to millions of dollars in cost overruns. You understand why the Almighty God lent a hand. And then, Madam Speaker, they have the audacity to call people corrupt. Corrupt. But you know what, Madam Speaker? Je vous cabarez, pas au volet. Et là, on va voir ce premier point. So you know, Madam Speaker, I heard the member from Soufre refer to the Prime Minister's last budget address. And essentially, he highlighted projects which were mentioned but not executed. I want to remind this Honorable House, Madam Speaker, that the Leader of the Opposition, in his first budget, promised you for a human resource center. You know what he did, Madam Speaker, when he was campaigning? Give Dupont as Prime Minister. Dupont obliged. And Dupont made him a Prime Minister. You promised him one human resource center. You were district rep. You were Prime Minister. You were Minister of Finance for 10 years. But up to today, you have given Dupont nothing. And we are trying to give you an effort, and even that you want to stop. You hear about Dupont? Even that you want to stop. You know, Madam Speaker, yes, it would be much simpler if at the time he had asked the district rep to approach the Prime Minister and ask the Prime Minister to give the Minister of Finance instructions to have the human resource center in the valley. But the fact is, all three people were him. Three not. You know, Madam Speaker, the member from Soufre called the government by all kind of names. All kind of names. Quick, quack, blah, blah. But then again, Madam Speaker, this name calling runs in their blood. Because it wasn't me, Madam Speaker. It wasn't I who called the Leader of the Opposition in Convention of Manikou. It wasn't I who called my colleague a poodle. It wasn't I who called Isaac Anthony a bookkeeper. It wasn't I who called Six Mondays yesterday. And it wasn't I who called the people of Katri Central the LNN. Can't forget. So the business of name calling runs in their blood, Madam Speaker. I wonder if they know who did that. I wonder if they know who did that. Any of you know? Okay, not yet. Madam Speaker, the member of Soufre, and I quote, you're all taking steroids to lie. Madam Speaker, I am sure all solutions know that when you hear a member from Soufre tell that to members here, they must be saying, what is calling Kessel Black? All solutions know that the biggest liars and the persons that make the most ridiculous accusations, those that concoct the biggest stories, pages of passion as digital truth, are members of the Labour Party or their affiliates. The member from Soufre probably forgot for a moment, Madam Speaker, who is leader was. Right here in this Honorable House, Madam Speaker, he almost caused the expulsion of the previous member for Katri Central when he denied saying what he had obviously said about give the people a chance for Christmas. He lied right there. He said he never said it. When the text was shown to him, he said he forgot. He forgot. You know? When he attempted, Madam Speaker, to stir non-compliance with the fingerprinting law which he had passed, he released a statement, and I got a copy of the statement. Here was the statement said. I clearly made an error and misspoke. It was certainly not my intention to do so. It was clearly obvious I forgot. That being said, we all know Mr. Mundet Moplezi, so I can well understand the alacrity with which you would want to put the record straight, unquote. You know, Madam Speaker, the biggest lie ever told by the member of Dupont was that of Bouchamel. And, you know, the House, Madam Speaker, this Honorable House was actually deceived. So much so, it commissioned an inquiry. And you know what is interesting in all of this, Madam Speaker? What is interesting is an article written by a Labour Party supporter. His name is Nicholas Joseph. This is what he has to say in a nutshell. Can he not fit for office? This is what he has to say. Madam Speaker, I will quickly read the excerpt from his articles. Thank you. The document is the staff of 10th of October 2009. He said, among other things, the draft final report will contain an executive summary of the investment proposal as well as concrete recommendations to the Prime Minister, who's the Minister of Finance. The process that must be followed by any Prime Minister or Minister of Finance who respects government professionals. Are we hearing that the Prime Minister was not respecting government professionals? I don't know, he'll tell us. But he says, who respects government professionals and who is clear in his own mind as Prime Minister, he is only a policy leader of a broader team of professionals, not a monarch in a monarchy, or a master on his plantation, or a thin god, as justly recently referred to Kenyans. Paragraph. The article goes on. He says, Madam Speaker, as a labor man myself, yes I am. You know, that's what we say, that's what we say. He says, as a labor man myself, yes I am. I cannot fathom this madness. So, Madam Speaker, when I was saying that we are spending more than we are making, and I refer to it as madness, I probably borrowed that word from a Labour Party supporter. And, Madam Speaker, this is what is interesting. This is what is interesting. There is sufficient talent surrounding the Labour Party. Now, I'll stop here a little. Madam Speaker, there cannot be talent surrounding the Labour Party. When the leader of the opposition entered the Labour Party, there was a constitution that essentially says you cannot serve more than 2/3. That constitution was amended. And all the good fellows have to run like Mario Michel. They have to run. So right now the Revolutionary Labour Party has no choice but to settle for UWP reject, because the good people won. So Madam Speaker, even Raul Castro, I don't know, tell me one of your friends. Madam Speaker, Raul Castro only day before yesterday, in a communist country, Raul Castro said no leader should serve more than 2 terms in total 10 years. In a communist country. But you know, for our political longevity and the obsession with power, we use the term for the member of Patrick for this to what? Shall we what? Okay. That is what happens now. So, Madam Speaker, you know, all the talents have to leave the Labour Party for that Mario. And let me put on record, Mario Michel would have been a good Prime Minister. He would have been a good Prime Minister. Obviously, we all have little things that we have to straighten out. I didn't say that, Jamie, I'll never say that. He would have been a good leader, our assets, no. You know, and it goes, let me read the article, Madam Speaker. There is sufficient talent surrounding the Labour Party, both in and out of the country, to fashion a credible team of candidates in time for the next general election. Well, you see, that was written 2 years ago, and they don't have a split now, they have a place. If you don't need to reject that on that place. Yeah. And it goes on to say, if the constituency group needed a reason of vote of no confidence in Kenny Anthony, the Ramsoy report is it. It is time that our country get rid of its political thingos. Martha Dave Adam. What am I saying to you? A labor man, Madam Speaker. A labor man. So, Madam Speaker, you begin to understand when we listen to the leader of the opposition. And I must tell you, he sounds righteous. He sounds good. He sounds so good. But, Madam Speaker, if I will only tell him, hey, you feel like a foul leg, 2 eggs, and you have to check, you give the foul Corina and this. He cannot manage it for me, Madam Speaker. Silence the country. Madam Speaker, before going into my constituency, I will venture to let persons know that those who cannot remember the past must be constantly reminded. Because it is your behavior yesterday that makes you eligible for a job today. You know, Madam Speaker, this reminds me of the significance of a police record. When you apply for a job, you have to produce a police record, aren't you? If it shows that you have stolen from your employers for the last 20 years, can you rely on the excuse that I didn't steal for 5 years, huh? Guess why? Because I was out of a job. So, tickle and open for vole. They will pass into a high school vole. So, guys, in my vole, because tickle and open vole. Can you rely on that excuse? Huh? See who they are here, they are there, three. But tickle and you are out of a job. You are out of the opportunity. So, what are you doing with vole? How can you say that? You can say, I think I'll amend my way. But try me again. That's what you have to say. I think I'll try see Shaflower there in high way. Let body when market the only one pierce because you have been the past. But maybe I don't know. It's when I put the butter in front of you, I would know if the cat will still take the butter. So it can't be the fast man. You know, Madam Speaker, you know, people tell you about past. The every qualification that one has, we have two Nobel laureates, Madam Speaker. Two of them. And it was by virtue of their past that the present recognized them. By virtue of their contributions in the relevant fields over a period of them, of time, that you will recognize. So if it were the past, you would not have been recognized. Okay? Madam Speaker, let me go quickly to my constituents. I will just show a few photos before I talk very briefly about direct awards. You know, under our government is direct awards. Under the last administration, it used to be direct rewards. But that's okay. Madam Speaker, that's a picture of the Boapata area before, another one before, and this is what it looks like today. This is what it looks like today. Boapata. Yeah, that is what I transformed it to be, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, the garden, quickly. This is what the gardens look like. The next 10 slides will just give you a view of what the gardens used to look like. You see what it looked like before? And give me, this is what it is now, Madam Speaker. For the first time, go back 1 second, please. For the first time, we have changing room and toilet facilities and even an area for the media, Madam Speaker. We now have lights, Madam Speaker, and the guys there are enjoying themselves, Madam Speaker. And no, I'll tell you about the competition just now. Good. All of that, Madam Speaker. I'll tell you about that just now. Okay, give me the next slide, please, sir. Good, stop it. Madam Speaker, when I started this course, I got a lot of blows on the radio from a gentleman in the photo. But it is clear that even he recognized and appreciates my efforts. He recognized and appreciates my efforts. He's socializing with the guys. Give me the next slide, Madam Speaker. Now stop there, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, not too long ago, the leader of the opposition was on the market step criticizing football competition. Oh, they try this. They try pieces of competition. Nothing is working. The man who's supposed to be going up against me was on perspective. Oh, I don't support the cause. I don't support the cause. Today, he has hugged my cause. And I said mine because it wasn't built by taxpayers, it was built by the Taiwanese. The same Taiwanese they don't want here. But that's another show. He has hugged the court, Madam Speaker, for the last 2 months, playing the very football that the leader of the opposition was criticizing on the market. Leo Gaibo, Gibo. Let's give me the next slide. Madam Speaker, this is a bridge I built between Boapata, between Boapata and Lastikil. On a Sunday, Madam Speaker, I came from church, and it really hurts me to have seen a lady going to church but walking with two pairs of shoes. One was essentially to go into church and one was to cross the ravine. Madam Speaker, that very Sunday I indicated to them that I will deal with the problem, and this is what it is. Madam, the next two slides, Madam Speaker, indicate where Castries, they were selling coal, Madam Speaker, you remember? Coals and coconuts. That is what was being done there, Madam Speaker. Today, this is what is there now, Madam Speaker. This is what is there. Better use of the land in Castries Central, Madam. Next slide, please. This one, Madam Speaker, I remember the day of demolition. I remember seeing somebody in a car passing and taking pictures. I don't know if his memory can, if you remember that, but passing and taking pictures. Madam Speaker, they were selling there in a very haphazard manner. I grabbed there, and in very quick time, Madam Speaker, we were able to build this facility and rent it out to various people. Madam Speaker, we also built a fish vending facility. The next two slides, that's what they are. We built this, Madam Speaker, at the back of the market, essentially to alleviate the problem of vending fish all over the place. Madam Speaker, the next two slides are the huts on Jeremy Street, Madam Speaker. I'm sure you've found that time and time again and have seen persons selling in all sorts of tents with protruding steel in a very dangerous manner, Madam Speaker. I thought I would bring a bit of refuge, Madam Speaker, to those persons and to bring up essentially the aesthetic appeal of the city, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, the next slide, Madam Speaker, this is where we call Serenity Park. Yes, the next three slides. You can go next four, right. Now hold on, stop there. Give me the other one. Give me the other, please, hold on. Madam Speaker, this is not Las Vegas. This is not Las Vegas, Madam Speaker. This is Sanssouci. This is by the Sanssouci Bridge, Madam Speaker. This is by the Sanssouci Bridge in the night, Madam Speaker. Leader of the opposition, you can have a look here. This is Sanssouci, Madam Speaker. Right. Good. This is Serenity Park, Madam Speaker. Let me just say this quickly. Mr. Michael Shafte, a renowned businessman in this country, actually wrote an article and called this park a decolonization strike. Madam Speaker, the name Serenity Park was derived from a competition for schools in the Castries Basin, and a young man from the Alci Boys School suggested that name, Madam Speaker, and so we decided to select that name. I don't have his name with me now, but what I can tell him is congratulations, whoever you are. He will be given the opportunity to cut the ribbon along with the Governor General and the Honorable Prime Minister. And let me just take the opportunity to invite all parliamentarians on the 1st of May, is the grand opening. I will expect to see the leader of the opposition there. I know he loves jazz, and there will be a jazz entertainment after the opening. So I know you will be there. I will ensure that you are taken good care of, because sometimes I know your brain needs relaxation. So I'll take care of you. Madam Speaker, the next slide, Madam Speaker. Right. Madam Speaker, this is what the CDC looked like up to day before yesterday. Up to day before yesterday, Madam Speaker, this is what the CDC looked like. And in my quest at bringing reprieve to the people, Madam Speaker, we decided to give them a facelift, Madam Speaker. And I'm sure you will agree, those latter pictures obviously lend to a much better sight, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, the next set of pictures is the SAD. This is the SAD before. Now let me just say this about the SAD. The SAD has been rejected from time immemorial, Madam Speaker. Nobody knew anybody in the SAD. Nobody had done anything for the people in the SAD. Last year, Madam Speaker, I said in this honorable house that I will cause this entire road to be concreted and give them proper drainage, because that was their problem. Give them proper drainage, Madam Speaker. Now all the water from the SAD is directed to right in front of Napa, Madam Speaker, and the problem of the flooding would be alleviated, Madam Speaker. So I am indeed pleased that I was able, this is what it looked like, Madam Speaker. Isn't that beautiful, Madam? It shows concern. It shows that you care. It shows that you care, Madam Speaker. No, that's not because allowing it coconut. Madam Speaker, the next two slides. Well, that is the first. Yes. This slide, Madam Speaker, right by we decided, Madam Speaker, that the people of Boakatan, walking of Boakatan, they walk in the middle of the road. We decided, Madam Speaker, to build a walkway about 4 feet wide, 3.5 to 4 feet wide, from the bottom, by Francis and Francis, Madam Speaker, to reach the top of Boakatan, and it would be properly railed. I'm not sure what color the contractor would fit the railing, but I guess he knows best. So, Madam Speaker, yes, we are building this. We are building this so that the people of Boakatan can no longer expose themselves to vehicular traffic as they, go home. Madam Speaker, the next slide is just a set of steps before and after in the new village area. Now, before going to the other slide, I want to say this. I want to say this. Because you see, sometimes we sit in this honorable house and we hear a lot of talk. We hear a lot of talk, Madam Speaker, and sometimes if whatever is said goes unrefuted, it goes down the annals of belief. Madam Speaker, through you, can I ask the leader of the opposition that during his prime ministership for 2 terms, did he make any allocation to any opposition member and permitted him to name the contract? What's the question? Madam Speaker, no longer do we apply this selfish attitude of governance. I was proud to have heard the member from Castries East. I got 60,000, 70,000, 50,000. And he was literally outlining the amount of money that this government has made available to him as an opposition member. I think the government is around the close, fellas. And that never ever happened. It never happened in my short tenure as opposition member for Castries Central. Oh, I'll tell myself. I see things happen so that you think I'll come here and say, I'm in my constituency, I'm the rep. You wanted the boss to run after me? No way. But it never happened, Madam Speaker. And it just shows a different attitude to governance, Madam Speaker. It shows a different attitude to governance. You know, I also want to mention quickly that we refurbished totally the Anglican primary boys, primary school, the boys and girls toilet facility. That was done within that time. Madam Speaker, if I had to bring pictures here, it would have taken more than 3 hours to show. I mean, you have seen Castries. Everybody sees Castries. The last time Coco tell me he can come to Castries again, I asked him why. Usamawe, Kletche, Obato, Mweni, Etukatuna Pase, Ubilo, Obildinla, Tomakuna Pase. So even Coco recognizes the extent of work that has been done in Castries, Central, Madam Speaker. But I must say, never before has any allocation been made for the people of the opposition when the Labour Party was in office. You know, now, we spoke of direct awards, Madam. And I heard the Prime Minister going, I heard the leader of the opposition going, asking citizens about direct awards. I want to ask the opposition a question. Which one or any of them, has not nominated a contractor that received a direct award under our government? All of them have nominated contractors, Madam Speaker, who received direct awards to do their constituency projects. So, all of them have received. All of them. And I heard some names calling a while ago. Hatchet out, construction of concrete access. Manoa small. The other goes. Supre, construction of sidewalk footpath of green upgrade, Peter Cross said. Viewport North, construction of drain, Saint-Ville, Victor. But, hold on. That is it. That one is interesting. That's why I hold the rest of the slide. Hold on, I'm not going there yet. Gatsby East, Radin. And only yesterday, the member for Gatsby East said in this house, he don't know about contractor, he never nominated contractor. I thought, okay. You said so.
Point of order?
Yes, I'm here. I never nominated a contractor for that project. I just know that.
Madam Speaker, I have the relevant areas and I will make this a document of the House when after this proceeding comes.
Good, Speaker. The member is misleading the House. I did not nominate any contractors and projects.
My name is not any.
You can show whatever you want. This is not true.
Can he rely on Tony?
This is not true.
Can he rely on a God name? Madam Speaker, Viewport Proud, Human Hanan Design and Construction Services. And all of those, Madam Speaker, all of those receive direct awards. Now, the Prime Minister, Madam Speaker, Honorable Stevenson King, in his wisdom, from day one, I have never seen a Prime Minister in such a soft heart. He cares about the opposition more than us. He cares about them more than us. Yes, say that outside, according to you. You see how I'm using your term against you? Say it outside. You want me to put you? You said you never know if it happened or not, but Richard Frederick is quick to defend himself. Trust me, every meeting you have, I recorded it.
Trust
me. Say it outside. Anyhow, Madam Speaker, my Prime Minister in his wisdom made monies available to everybody. And he asked them to select their own projects. So when I saw the project submitted by member for Catherine East, I said, boss, you are going to do that project? He asked me why. I said for two reasons. One is that is not a priority in that constituency. And I'll show you why, Madam Speaker, the slides will show the nation why. And secondly, the project is not even in his constituency. The project is in Castries North. The project, Madam Speaker, the Great Wall, they call it CIC, here is priority. That's how they call it. Some people call it the Great Wall. The wall is not even in the constituency of the man who said he wanted it done. But, Madam Speaker, I will show you four or five slides before I show you the wall. And the slides I will show you before I show you the wall are in the constituency of Castries East. Give me slide 59, please. Good. Hold on there. You see that, Madam Speaker? That's the Bokash Road. That is in the constituency of Castries East. Give me slide 60. Look at that, Madam Speaker, house. Look at the house, Madam Speaker. And if you live there, I'm sure, every time you're a blue group, you run. Give me the next slide, please. That's the same house. Look at it, Madam. Look at that. Look at what has happened in Castries East and has left unattended. Let's go. You see this? You see this, Madam Speaker? Look at it. Look at it. Let's go to another housing entry point. Give me the other one. Yes, but look at that. Look at the housing entry point. All lady is there. The lady says, even if a fly passes by, she runs out of the house. She thinks it's a house of poverty. Look at this. The house is actually suspending. The house is suspending, Madam Speaker. But the Prime Minister lend a hand and show them what it is. Give me the next slide. Look at the house again. You see the house? Look at the house. But what did he do with the money? He did that. Next. Bam. You see what he did? Madam Speaker, where is the conscience of some of those guys? Where is your conscience? Look at the situation with other people. I don't know where it is. Whose house is that? I don't know. The question is, Madam Speaker, if you can do that when you're in opposition, far less with you in government. And it tells you, Madam Speaker, how heartless, some of us are. And yesterday, I'm listening to all kinds of fanciful excuses. A slide, where the slide? Where the slide? The only slide we have seen in this house was when the leader of the opposition was in charge and he was spending more money than he was missing. And Madam Speaker, when you look at, when you juxtapose this to those areas, there's an old lady living in a suspended house by herself. Nobody came to her rescue. But here is priority. And that's not even Castries, Madam Speaker. Castries is on the other side of the road. Castries is on the other side of the road. That road separates Castries East and Castries North. I don't have Castries East. You understand, Madam Speaker? And at the end of the day, persons want to come here after they are angels. They have done nothing. And they want to hold the reins of governance again. Madam Speaker, I don't think those people believe Saint Lucian are mad. Madam Speaker, let me just take this opportunity to let the Labour administration know that we cannot administer anything balance the affairs of this country. We've given you a chance once, you fail. You've given you a chance twice, you fail. Don't tell me you will not fail again because I have not given you another opportunity. Madam Speaker, I urge this solution, irrespective of all the manifesto material we heard unfolding before our eyes. We heard about the new Labour Party. A new this, a new that, a new Labour Party with an old head with old ideas. And so, Madam Speaker, let me take this opportunity of thanking all my people in Castries Central. How wonderful they are. Yes, that's the last. So there was another slide after that. There's another one of that. But give me the last slide, let me see. I think it shows a better picture of the wall. So give me the last slide again, please. The next slide? No, okay, well that was the last one. So Madam Speaker, let me just take this opportunity to thank all the people of Castries Central, irrespective of being referred to as the elements by the leader of the opposition. Yeah, he called them the elements. He likes calling people names. Maniku, Pudu, Sikh, elements. Three blind mice. You know? Tell me. Just tell me outside. I supiaro? Because every piece of rubbish that has to come from the Labour Party, you keep quiet and you let him say it. You smart. You smart. Oh, I can't even see him. So, okay, Pontius Pilate, you have washed your hands. So Madam Speaker, let me take the opportunity to thank my people of Castries Central and to let the leader of the opposition and the St. Lucia Labour Party know that St. Lucians are no longer stupid. We are not foolish. We are wise. We read between the lines. And irrespective of appearing as though you were in a confession box, Mr. Leader of the Opposition, we will not grant you your confession. Thank you, Madam Speaker. Thank you, Constable.